So to be different in this world, we need to do something different. One day I've learned with my teacher, I finished university. When you finish university, we don't know much about orthodontics. That's why we need to do post-graduation expertise and blah, 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 blah. And I've learned with this teacher, and he said, if you are here, it's not you won't just learn to do the average. There's so many, believe that, so many dentists doing the average. So many. And so many dentists making mistakes. In my area, like orthodontics, I think there's much more. And he said, I won't teach you to do the average. I'll teach you to fix things. I'll teach you to do better and better every time. When you have a situation that most of the dentists will say, no, it's too hard. I don't know how to fix this. I don't know how to fix this someone else's mistake. I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to deal with this. It's too hard. It's complicated. I don't know. That's the case that I want you to do it. That's the case. And for my whole life, almost 20 years doing orthodontics, I was kind of, most of my patients was fixing problems caused by other dentists. I think that happens in construction, in business, universities, computers. And as a Christian, I want to do things with excellence for him too. I want to do things with excellence. I want to do things. And if people are saying God's not coming back, like we read, and today I believe God, if he gives me chance again, I will bring some highlights from last week. No, Jesus Christ not coming. I'm here to fix that. He's coming back. If the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit's moving through pastors and teachers and you know, I'm here to fix that. He's moving through me, through you, through everyone that wants in and allow him to move. I cannot learn like you learn. You have grace on you, or you have a calling. No, that's why No, I'm here to fix that. All of us, we have the mind of Christ. We can pray. We can seek him. We can ask Holy Spirit, help me to understand this. Help me to get revelation on this. We all can receive revelations from the Lord. I'm here for that. I'm here for that. And the same way my teacher was teaching me, so no, you are here to do something else. Maybe for 20 years, maybe 4 years doing that course with him. And it was just to learn that, to use in my ministry now. I'm here to help you and encourage you to do something else. Something else. When you go on Thursday night, that's something else. When you go there and sit with those guys, we are talking to them. We're hearing them sometimes. And we are there because we want to fix their lives. How? Through the Word of God. Through prayer. Laying our hands. Loving them. Showing the love of God for them. Blessing them. This is why we are here. This is why we are here, church. We have to be different. It's not, no. We are all equal. No, we are different. We don't belong to this world. Natural way. I'm Brazilian. You are Canadian. Guatemalan, Malaysian, Singapore. We speak different languages. But in God's kingdom, and then here we speak the same. But God's kingdom, we speak the same language.
Right.
We are not different. Maybe the natural way, some of us are dentists, another one businessman, another one cleaning, another one computer guy, another one. But in God's kingdom, we have different things to do, but we all in the same level. We are all children of God. We have different levels of understanding, faith. You understand that. But what I'm saying is this. We are all children of God. That's the point. I think this is the best thing. You know, I don't need examples. It's bad examples. We are child of God. We can have everything He has promised to us. So don't think small. Don't think you can only hit this high, this level. Don't think that. Let's think bigger. Let's declare bigger. Let's speak bigger. Let's desire something else. Yes, I want to fix this. I'm using my past because this is the only one I know. My example. I want to give my testimony. So one day I told God, God, I'm tired preaching somebody else's testimonies. I want to preach my own testimonies. And I came to downtown because I know a Brazilian dentist. She's orthodontic. And his son called and said, "Hey, what are you, your idea to fix this, to do this?" And for me, it was like, "No, you do this. Oh, come on. We don't do that here. It's too much job. It's too difficult. I don't know if the result's going to be okay. If it's not okay, I don't know if the patient is going to sue me, or my mom. We don't do it. We send this patient to somebody else, specialist." And again, I think, no, I was prepared at least to try to do the best. I was prepared not to call the patient and say, you know, go and try to find out someone that will do this for you. I wasn't prepared for that. And I'm not prepared. In the kingdom of God, He is not preparing me to say, you know, this situation is too hard. Ask another pastor to help you because, you know. Or, oh, no, maybe I'll stop praying for this because it's too difficult. No, He has been training us. We have this responsibility. We have new Christians here. You're new. So you are in this church because He's preparing you to do the best. He's preparing you to do something that somebody else don't want to do it. He's teaching us. He's moving in this place. He wants us. So He's giving us more responsibility. He's giving us more responsibility. I invite people to come to church. But I think most of you or all of you, I didn't invite to come to this church. It was the Holy Spirit. Because He has a team that will make difference in His kingdom. He has another team that will make difference in His kingdom, but a different way. But He called us and put us together. And He's preparing. He's giving us words. He's warning us that the end is coming. It's near. It's close. He's telling us. He's warning me. I said, "Lord, I you know, yesterday I missed the class because I couldn't stay. So it's not this, Lord. I know you don't want me to preach this." It's, and he was like 3 hours. He was always moving me to the same message. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. I don't want to be crazy for you like John Baptist. Oh, crazy guy. I don't want to be like that. But this is the word I have in my heart. Maybe after this service, he says, "Okay, done. Who has ears to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying." But maybe he's going to ask me to preach until the end of this year or next year until Jesus comes. But you know, I just want to obey him. He called me to make difference in this world. I want to make difference in this world. Okay, I want to make difference. And you are here because he called you to make difference. You have been prepared to do something different. If somebody tells you it's too hard, "Oh, that prostitute? No, it's too hard." No, you go and you pray and you do whatever you have to do. Because if nobody wants to deal with that, or drug dealers, or drug addicts, or liars, or killers, or thieves, or whatever it is, or religious, he called us to go there and reach out the lost. To do that, we cannot just say, "I don't do it. It's going to be too difficult. I'm not really prepared for that." God knows who we are, what level we are.
Amen.
The Bible talks about that. You won't send anybody like new Christian to deal with things that they are not prepared to deal with. It took me almost 6 years to have my first patient to set up the braces. 6 years. 6 years. Nobody was crazy enough to say, you know, you have 3 hours course, so go. The patient's waiting for you. No, nobody's crazy. Pastors are not crazy, or some of them are not. We know some, not everybody. But I'm not saying I trust. I really trust. I have peace in my heart when I see Gerald, Pearly, the children, and then Titus and Elizabeth. And when I see Todd was there, when I go there, when somebody else goes to that house, Louise was there. You guys are prepared. Maybe Luis can say, I'm new. I'm the newer one here in this church. You know, but he's there. He's learning with examples. And he's already doing a lot. Do you understand what the Holy Spirit is saying? So he's respecting us in our level of understanding, level of commitment, our level of... But he wants us to move forward. To move forward. I don't know what that means in your life. I don't know. Maybe it means more prayer. Maybe it means more church. Maybe it means more commitment. Maybe it means more time with your family. Maybe it means more, you know, work. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know the season you are living right now. That's why it's not a burden on our shoulder. Because he'll never ask you to do something that you are not prepared to do. But he's not only giving you what you think you are prepared to do. Because sometimes we think we are not prepared to do this, and then he calls. Maybe you think I'm not prepared to do this. You know, I know you are. This is encouragement. And the Lord, when the Lord asks you to do something, church, trust in him. That's a good thing, because I took me a long time to understand that. He respects us, but he's always pushing us a little bit. First time, first patient, I was sweating. I was asking my teacher like 10 times before I said the first one. Because I was, not really confident. First time, second time, third time, 1 year, 2 years, 20 years. I just was right. Done. Practicing, practicing, practicing. Amen. Sometimes it's hard when the church is quiet. But at the same time, it's good. Because it sounds like you are hearing from the Holy Spirit. Not from me. Amen. He's bringing us to a different level. Believe that. And don't try to say, pastor is wrong. I won't do anything just to prove he's wrong. It's your problem. But if you catch this message, if you understand this message, and you say, yes, if God is bringing us to a different level because he's coming and we need to do more and more. More and more. I'm not inviting you. Of course, if you want to come on Thursday night, you're very welcome. But I'm not inviting all of you to come and preach in the house. Maybe the Lord is calling you to get more involved with your family. Spending more time in your work, in your job, in whatever you are. You are the light in the middle of the darkness. Amen? Hallelujah. This is introduction. I will start preaching now. Yeah, that's true. God is good. I feel released. I feel released. And it's good. And it's good. I'll tell you. When you have someone coming and saying, thank you so much. Thank you so much because you introduced me Jesus Christ, and that changed my life. Amen. And come and say, I would like to thank you. When that happened, church, you feel like, yes, I want to do more. I want to do more. I want to do more. Because that's the prize. That's the reward. When somebody comes and say, thank you. Remember you prayed? I just want to let you know that happened. God answered the prayer. Amen. What was impossible? I came, because the guy came saying, so it's impossible. The bank said, there's no way. They said, no, there's, and said, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. Pray, please. Faith first. He had faith in God, not in us. Pray. He's a new Christian. So he said, okay, I need your help. I need your help. I need your knowledge. He even don't know words that can sustain or base for his prayer, his believer, he believed. So he came, we prayed, and he comes again and say, okay, thank you. Happened. What was impossible turned to possible, to real in his life. Amen. The same way turned real in your life when you got saved. Turned real in your life when you didn't know how to do and happen. When turned into to your life. So we have so many testimonies that we can share here. We can share here. Healing testimonies. Amen. So no, this is my prayer. Lord, just give each one of us opportunity to serve you. And also, and show us, open our eyes. If we are blind concerning that, if you are not hearing your voice or the results, please open our eyes, our ears to hear. To see the results, to see what's going on, what happened, the testimonies. Because that will encourage me for the next one, for the next one, for the next one. For the next one. This is part of our nature. God's a God of increase. He said, I'm going to give you and your family more and more. Increase. Psalms talks about that. 115, I think. 14. He's a God of increase. Amen? Amen. Highlights from last week. Because one thing was, I don't know if I was missing sharing it with you or I don't know. But when I was talking about revival last week, you know, I gave some definitions about revival, which is improvement in our condition, strength, vigor, restoration of life. So restoration of life. So revival, restoration of life, it's a good definition. It's bringing to life what was dead in our lives. I see like that. When I say, Lord, I want revival. Yes. I want to see things turning to life in my life. It's something that becomes important again. I love this definition. Revive is something that becomes important again. And also awakening of religious favor. Because God doesn't want, of course, it's a translation from dictionary, but it's not. We're not improving religious. We are saying improving our relationship with Him. You know, God doesn't want His church lukewarm. Cold or hot? Cold, bye. Hot, come. That's simple. That's simple. So this is the definition. I was also reading about for 2 Peter. He was saying, I'm here to remind you. I'm here to stir you up. To stir you up. Stimulating you with this letter. I'm stimulating you. You know, people are coming and saying, and scoffers and doubters and liars. There's everywhere people like that. There's every church people like that. Not every church, not here. Because if you tell me that Jesus is not coming, I know I need to talk to you. Jesus, but we have people trying to deceive, try to lying for people. We have the enemy is furious because he knows it's his end. So Peter was telling us, so people will come and will lie to you, and they will ask you, they will put some doubt in your mind. So is really coming? Is Jesus coming? You know, I don't know if when Jesus comes, I'll be alive. I don't know. I'm 48. If I live 50 more years, I believe I will be alive. I believe. It's that soon, I believe. It's that soon. But if I'm not alive, no problem. I'll meet you. If you are alive, I'll meet you coming with the Lord Jesus. You know, there's no, it's win-win. If I'm alive, I'll go with Jesus. If I'm not alive, I'll come with Jesus. But it's win and win. I'll be with Jesus. That's the final thing. I will be with Jesus Christ. So if somebody comes to me and says, Jesus is not coming. So, you know, you are a liar because the word says he's coming. So keep that in mind. Keep that in mind. He is coming. And he's the way, the only way. That shows me how he loves us. How he loves us. Another point I want to highlight to you to remember. To not forget. Not forget that Jesus Christ is not late. That's patience. That's mercy. That's long suffering. Because he wants everyone to be saved. Amen. Don't think he's late. I'm tired, Pastor. No, Jesus is late. No, he's not late. So much love. He so loved the world. He so loved the world. He sent his son to die for us. He's not late, okay, church? When somebody comes to you and says, you know, Christians are always saying the same thing. Always saying about this. Always saying about that. No, he's not late. Whatever he said is the truth. Whatever he promised is going to happen. It's going to fulfill. It's simple, but sometimes people get a little bit confused because of people trying to put doubt in their mind. And the big question was, why revival? And I was meditating on that again. And I said, yeah, you know, when you see, maybe you see like me, I don't see like anymore, maybe you see revival as a great, great, move of the Spirit, Holy Spirit moving, the cloud of glory, and it's healing. And I said, of course, Pastor. I see like that too. But what the Holy Spirit told me is revival, and I always say that, revival is in us. That is going to happen. That's the result of the revival that's going to happen inside of us first. You know, bringing back to life. Bringing us that position of the important thing to do. Bringing us, so the definition just matched with that. So the revival is going to change us first. The revival is going to encourage us. Something's going to be moving inside of us that we will not stay. We won't stop anymore. We want to do something. It's cheering you up. So revival will take place. Those things that we have in mind. Move of the Spirit. People moving and performing signs, wonders, and miracles. It's going to take place. And God's going to use us. God is asking us to seek Him. God is asking us to be in His presence. God is telling us this morning, you know, I want to put in a different level because I want to start moving. Why? I don't know. God can move the way He wants. He wants to start moving this and people, I'm saved. I want Jesus, His power. He can do whatever the rocks can claim. But He doesn't want that anymore. He wants us. Amen. He wants to use us. He wants to move through us because we will give Him glory. Amen. So that's the revival. When we understand, we receive in our spirit, we seek Him, we desire changing in our lives. We hear words, hard words like this, and say, no, Lord, yes, that's true. Put me in a different position. And how can I get there? And He's telling us every Sunday, seek Him first. pray, praise, worship, knowledge of the word, study. He's telling us the gospel, it's a simple message. Simple message. If it was complicated, nobody will understand. It's complicated, complicated for them that don't have the Holy Spirit. But for us, He's already revealed. So when you go and jump in, we will learn. Amen. So revival, I believe, is from inside out. It starts here. I can see revival in my life. I can see revival in my life. I was planning. I was, Lord, I always pray, Lord, I want to, in Brazil, we have like 300 people, Rema grads, and then teaching there. And I was, Lord, I need revelation. I need revelation because, you know, I'm preaching for Rema grads. And they know what I'm preaching. They know. You know all of this. And I'm okay now. Years ago, I was like, cry, Lord, I don't have a special word or a special discernment or a special revelation. Of course I do. So God loves you. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for you. And if you accept Him and you believe in Him and accept Him and confess Him as the Lord and Savior, you are saved. You have eternal life. Yes. You have all of this. So it's enough. Salvation. What I'm saying is this. We don't need, I want revelation. Why you want something new if you are not practicing what you already have in your hands? We need to learn and put into practice. Amen. Yeah. So this is, for me, is a revival inside of me. I say, Lord, I just want to preach what you tell me to preach. I just want to say, if you one word, one word. If it's simple, if it's complicated, whatever you want me to say. But it's always and always, it's getting simple and simple because He's just moving us to a position that He wants us to be available for Him. To be available. This is revival. Revival is when I'm giving up doing something just to be in His presence. Revival for me is when I give up doing something just to spend time reading or studying. Revival for me inside of me, from inside out, is when I instead of going home, I leave the church and I go to that house, men's shelter, because I want to just hear them or manifest the love of God for them. Because I know one day, it's going to be more than that. Amen. It's going to be more than that. I'm available. That's revival for me. Revival is when someone comes and says, "Oh, I don't know if Jesus is coming." Jesus is coming. Why is it so important, Pastor, to know Jesus is coming? Oh, yeah, I know. Because if you don't really get that revelation that He's coming, it's okay. We live on the average. Whatever everybody is doing, I'm going to do it. Hey Alex, let's change this worship. Let's do like concert, lights. Okay, I'm not judging anybody. I don't like. I went to the conference in Brazil. First time I saw smoke, lights. And I was trying to worship the Lord. In my eyes, I remember in the university, we went to places to dance. Well, what's the name? I don't know.
Discos.
And my time was discotheque. Discos. No, I'm not that old. I'm feeling like in a concert or something like that. I didn't like my personal opinion, okay? My personal opinion. But if you don't really get the revelation, it's something else. There's something else. I think the message today is there's something else in His presence. We are spending so much time, so much money, so much energy to put lights on, to have concerts, to this, because this is pleasing people. I don't want to please people. I want to save people. This week, what God put in my heart this week? I was watching, I gave a ride to someone. And the son was playing soccer, and I stopped there to leave. I stopped there because she was She said, oh, I want to watch this game. And I sat there, and I was watching it. Well, let me see. I'm talking about Javier playing soccer. We came from the hospital and stopped the car. I said, I'll stay here. I have 20 minutes. I was asking the Lord. I talk to the Lord like this. I don't know you, if you need tie or if you need high shoe. I talk to the Lord like I'm talking with you guys. And said, Lord, why? I just want to know why. I had a chance to be a professional soccer player. I love to play soccer. And I start arguing, not arguing, I start reasoning with God. I say, you know, say, because the first thing comes to mind, I'll never meet Patricia. So Leo, bye-bye. Gabriella, sorry, Emily. Leo's supposed to not be here. And but I said, no. I know soccer players. And when they are learning, when they're trying to become professionals, some of them are studying or going. So I could go to the university and start playing for the team, and then they keep playing for this one. And I'm not crazy, but I was thinking about it. I said, Lord, why? I just want to know. Yeah, I love, I play. I was 20 years dentist. Why I couldn't be 20 years soccer player and become a pastor and come to Canada? Why not? But one thing came to my heart, was simple. And I know it's the Holy Spirit, because when I think, I know it's the Holy Spirit. He said, I didn't call you to entertain people. I called you to save people. And I that was so clear inside of me. He said, I know we have pastors, our soccer players, football players. They became, we have athletes of Christ we have in Brazil. It's a huge thing. But for me, myself, he said, no, this is not what I called you to be. A simple answer. So he called us to be something that sometimes we don't know. But when the Lord told me that, I said, you know, this is what, yes, thank you, Lord. You always want the best for me. You always have the best for me. So now I understand. I probably won't meet Patricia, Leo, Gabriella won't come. I probably won't be in Canada. Probably I'm going to be somewhere else. I probably know Manuela for Alex. See how many things. If I say, yeah, Lord, I don't care about what you think. I'm going to do my way. Good.
Thank you for me.
Good preaching. If I do my way, Alex won't meet Manuela. God is going to do it other way. I don't know what I'm talking today. Patricia won't be happy like she is marrying me. Emily's going to be crying like, Mom, I don't know anybody really nice and cute. See, this is the way. That's why it's good to obey the Lord.
Amen.
Obeying the Lord, following the Lord, and trusting the Lord, and doing what He's calling us to do. We'll see the result. We'll see the result. And next time, more people, I'll tell from more people, so no, this guy won't be here. That guy won't be here. This guy won't be saved. This guy will be dead. This lady is... Because I said no to the Lord. But because I said yes, that's awesome. Because we said yes to the Lord. Because we are hearing this word, which is not a preaching. It's just a talking, because I'm not following anything. Actually, I don't want to follow this anymore. I'm just saying, it's a talking. We are thinking together. Yes, we are thinking together. We are thinking. If I said no to the Lord, if I say no to the Lord, see the consequences? If you say yes to the Lord, the consequences will be different. Your family will be saved. Your husband will change. Your wife will be completely transformed. You prosper for the right reason. I could be a millionaire as a soccer player, like Neymar.
Yeah.
There's a soccer player, he's playing China. My team wants to bring him back. And said, oh, now it's hard because he makes 2.5 million, which is almost $1 million, Canadian dollars, month. He plays average. Nothing extraordinary. Yes, I could be, and my money could be on using on drugs, on this, on that, on wrong things. and now I'm rich. I have all I need, provision every day, and my money has been used in good things, into the kingdom of God, to bless people, to bless my family, to bless my church. See the difference? Because I said yes to the Lord. When you say yes to the Lord, if the Lord is sending you to do something, if the Lord is saying, okay, let's jump, let's move this season for a different season, and you say yes, you'll see the result. You'll see the result. Say yes. There's one scripture I want to read, but I need to read, because if I try to speak by myself in English, 1 Thessalonians 5. Leo can show on screen. Now, brothers and sisters, I like this scripture because he's talking to me. He's talking to you. Brothers and sisters, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you. For you know very well. Do you know very well? I believe so. That the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. So we should know. Verse 4 says, but you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. So this is very important. I won't tell you that in 2020, November 22, November 22nd. I always see 22 when I see the time. I always, 3, 4, 5 times a day, say, what do you want, Lord? 22? Are you coming? I could say that. Since we got married, I see 22, the number 22 in my watch. 3 or 4 times. Sometimes I'm driving and Gabriela said, Dad, I need to be there at 3:30. And I look, 3:22. I wake up in the middle of the night. So what time is it? 4:22. Oh. And I will, many times. Sometimes it's funny. I text her. She calls me and I say, 2:22. So I tell her. And it's the same. I could create something. I could tell you, 2022, God is telling me He's coming back. He is. He is coming back. I know. He's showing me. But no, we don't know. But one thing you need to know, that's why it's so important, message like this, that we get involved with Him. Because we know the time, we know the season won't be a surprise for us. Won't be a surprise. It's not, if Jesus Christ comes next week, won't be a surprise to me. Why that's important? Because it's not a surprise. I know it's the season that Jesus Christ is coming. Even when somebody comes and say, oh, He said that 2,000 years ago. So I don't care what you are saying. I believe He's coming. Because I believe He's coming. I believe He's. I need to rush a little bit to do and fulfill what I have to fulfill in this earth before I go. I want to see my relatives getting saved. I want to see people on the streets getting saved. I want to see people getting better and better. I want to see people doing what God's calling them to do and getting their rewards and in heaven. And like yesterday's message was good. I want to see that. I want to be in a higher position in heaven. I mentioned the message yesterday. I've heard from Bryce. We know. Won't be a surprise. 5 says, you are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not like others who are asleep. But let us be awake and sober. And one thing I've heard many years ago, a preacher talking about that, was a good message. And the Holy Spirit brought back to me. There's so many Christians sleeping in the light. We are not in the darkness. See? He's making a parallel. We're not talking about night, days, darkness, light and darkness. We are not in Him. We are in God now. Light, 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 light. And said, but some people are just doing that, sleeping. I sleep. They're tired. But let us be awake and sober. If He's telling us, let us be awake and sober. Even living in the light is because there's so many Christians sleeping in the light. Or not paying attention. Or not aware of the situation we are living right now. Right now. Right now. Jesus is coming. I'm going to finish with something. See, I'm already finishing. Whoa. Jared, when I say I'm finished, you say hallelujah. Sounds like, yes, thank you, Lord. You're oops, I'm kidding. I'm joking. Because I know you, I can say that. Galatians 4:4. Galatians 4:4. Because sometimes I've heard that. So I'm okay. One more scripture, I'll finish this. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Sounds like people are happy we are ending the message. But anyway, Galatians 4:4. Says, but when the set time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law. Amplified version is good. Says, but when in God's plan, the proper time had fully come. So when Jesus Christ came, and I was meditating and said, what's the set time? What's the proper time? At this time, Jesus didn't come to earth as Son of Man, Son of Woman, born of woman. In a time that was like God was, you know, nothing to do, and He picked that day. So it was like, let's pick that day. Jesus Christ came at the right time. And this society at that time, if I bring back my church history, the society was like three different people in that society. Greek, Romans, and the Jewish people. And at that time, everything was prepared and was bringing some benefits for Jesus Christ to come at that time. Be prepared, receive the Holy Spirit, and be able to preach the gospel and spread the gospel. I was thinking and meditating about that. The Greek, they brought philosophers, because they were trying to find something, getting more knowledge. Where am I going? Where I came from? Where? Who am I? You know, philosophers are just trying to and guessing who they are, who we are. No, where I am right now, where I'm gonna be in the future. So philosophers try. They are trying to understand things, and that because they didn't find any answers. Even the Romans, when they took over the kingdom of the Greek kingdom, and they had so many religions because they were embracing religions and other people, cultures and everything. But, you know, philosophers or philosophy or gods or whatever you name them, never ever worked. And that time was really like that. Even if you read Acts 17, you see Paul walking in Athena, in Greece, Athens, not Athena. He was walking there, and the guys were like, "What this guy is talking about? I want to hear." But they was, "I want to hear more. I want to hear more." They were prepared to listen what Paul was trying to say, was to have to say. So people prepared. The environment were prepared. Many knowledge, seeking for knowledge. And nothing was working. The Greek brought the language, koinonia, they spoke the same language. Jesus Christ could come at that time and speak one language. Have you ever thought about how Jesus was talking to the Romans, talking with the Greek, talking with the Jewish, talking with the... Jesus was speaking many languages. No, he was speaking one, because the Greek culture brought one language. And then when the Roman Empire took place and then overcame the Greek, they brought the culture of building the cities, bringing improving the cities, the roads, the oceans routes and everything, no pirates, so they were safe. I was reading this scripture in Thessalonians. It was contradictory, but they said they are peace and safety. But the scripture says the people were saying that, but not God, not Jesus. It's not contradictory when I say the world won't get better because it's getting worse and worse. They are saying peace because they were seeing the natural thing. The Romans was protecting them. So we see the movies with Jesus Christ. We see the soldiers running here and there. I don't know why, but always have soldiers. Because at that time, they had protection. They were safe. One currency. Now they could go everywhere. Jesus Christ could pay everywhere with the same money, the same currency. This is... belongs to God, give to God. This belongs to Caesar, give to Caesar. It was the coin everybody were using. One currency, one money. What I'm trying to bring to you is this. Today is not different, church. Their minds, therefore they were prepared. Not everyone, you know. But the circumstance were prepared for them to come. I have more. I put some notes here. Circumstances were prepared for them to go. Like this philosophy ended up showing the insufficiency of human reason. The many gods was showing the insufficiency of gods. The science, medicine, architecture, and they were trying to learn more and more and more. Was they are open to learn something new, which was the gospel. And many more things. But what I'm saying is this, today is not different. When people start, because it's getting worse and worse, it's contradictory, when people start saying, no, it's getting better, and it will get better. Today for us to preach the gospel, because when everything was prepared, Galatians 4:4 said Jesus came. So, was the right time. Everything was prepared for Jesus to come. That time was the perfect time. And now won't be different. And it's the scenario, everything, it looks the same. People are so hungry to know things. They are trying to learn from gods, learning from psychologists, learning from philosophy, learning from this, from that. They are hungry to know because they want to know who they are. There's something inside of them. They are empty. They're dying. They want to kill themselves because they don't understand, what do I have? Who am I? What should I do? They don't know. It's getting worse, people. And I believe it's a good time for us to preach the gospel, because wherever you go, you have a privilege to speak English. Wherever you go in the world, you can speak in English. Alex said, oh, not in Brazil. Yes, in Brazil, because somebody was translating. Someone there could speak English. Everywhere it's, you go, you can preach the gospel. It's open for us, like what's open for Jesus Christ to preach. One language. And we'll see when people start saying that, peace and safety, because now even the thieves, and they cannot rob us, because now I have the ship here, I have the chip, I have the something special, I have some, nobody, only to cut my hand. They say things like that. And they will start saying, no, now we have peace. Nobody can steal money from my bank account. Nobody can steal. I can travel, I can do this, I can do that. It's easy. No, it's coming to a same situation was before when God sent Jesus Christ. Wow. It's coming to the same situation. And the same situation about being moving us to preach the gospel, but the same situation also about us to being rejected by them. The same way. So we need to understand, not only if we have to realize it spiritually, of course, but if you see around, if we study how it was with Jesus' time and how it is today, everything is getting ready, is multiplying. David 12, I think, he's talking about the end times. And he talks about the multiplication of knowledge, the multiplication of... Everything's getting faster and faster and faster. Even if you are not realizing your spirit, what 1 Thessalonians is saying, no, you are in the light, we won't be surprised. Even if you are so distracted, you can look around. Like we could look around that time when Jesus came first time. And you can see that it's time for Jesus to come again.
Amen.
Even if you're not that spiritual. But because you are in the light, you are not sleeping in the light. You are awake. And this morning, He's awake. He's bringing awakening for us. One more. Get that in your heart. Get this word in your heart. Realize that you are special for the Lord. That's why He wants us to get involved with Him. He wants us to get involved with Him and do what He's asking you to do. Amen? I cannot do what He's asking you to do. You cannot do what He's asking me to do. It's me. Amen?
Amen.
I hope you got it from the Lord.